Okay, I'm going to start recording.
So is it okay if I record?
Sure.
And do you mind stating your name?
My name is Edward Shannon Blackman. I'm known as Shannon Blackman, but my first name is Edward.
Okay. So I'm just going to read this thing. Okay, so thank you so much for agreeing to participate in this project. It will surely benefit the community now and in the future. The goal of this questionnaire is to produce as detailed and coherent a narrative of your story as possible. In light of that, I encourage you to feel free to not worry about providing an answer that is too long or too in-depth. Okay. So in what year were you born?
I was born December the 4th, 1938. That's the year.
Okay. And where were you born?
I was born here in Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, in the, at that time, Rutherford Hospital.
Okay. And how do you find yourself in terms of racial or ethnic identity?
I consider myself a African American or a black. It doesn't make, you know, if I'm referred to either one, I'll accept that.
Okay. And what is the last level of schooling that you completed?
I have a master's from Vanderbilt University. I attended there in 78 and 79 for a whole year. I went under the nurses program and received my MSN in psychiatric mental health.
Oh, cool. I'm going to come back to all of these things in more detail. But and are you married or have you ever been married?
I am married, been married for 47 years.
Congratulations. It's funny too. Well, okay. So tell me about your place of birth. What was going on there? Like, what was your childhood like growing up? Describe.
Well, I can't hardly remember much of my childhood. That sounds strange, but we lived in the same neighborhood. I grew up in the same neighborhood. We lived in three different houses, but they were all within a block of each other. When I first remember, we lived on Academy Street. We lived in a two-room house. It was actually a four-room house, but there was some neighbors right next to us. Mm-hmm. So I was raised up with my brother and my sister, my older brother and sister, and my mom and dad in that house. And later on, I guess when we were in grade school, I can't remember, but we did move up to another house, which was a three-room house. Then after that, we moved down to a four-room house. So all within the same, in the same block, actually.
So they just moved as they, like, could get a bigger house?
Right, got a big house.
And what kind of neighborhood, I mean, was it like country, suburban, city?
It was city. I was born on Academy Street, and that was in North Academy, which is north of Bradley's Elementary School, which I attended. And it was an integrated neighborhood, integrated to the fact that the blacks stayed in the block where whites would be, which was about three or four houses from us, from where I live. But it was was not integrated to the fact that whites stayed within the black neighborhood, but they stayed on the fringe of the neighborhood.
Hmm. Within the neighborhood, it was like still,
yeah.
It was like an integrated, but there was like still segregated within.
Right.
Okay. What was the, what was that like, I guess?
Well, you know, back during the time when I was a kid, back during the 40s and 50s, there were segregation and my parents and taught me, you know, this is where you can go and this is where you can't go. So back during that time, I didn't see a problem with that. I knew that we could not until I got older and realized what was actually going on. But in the neighborhood, we played with the neighbors that were white. And one of my good friends, when I was a teenager, his daddy and him had a stock car, and they raced a stock car. So we went out to this racetrack out on 11 Las Casas Pike, and he took me for a spin, which I never will do again. And some things you learn, and that's one of them, not to get in a race car. So that was an experience that I always will remember. Mm-hmm. He was a fast driver. His daddy was a fast driver, so, you know. But still, that was an experience that I remember.
Yeah. So, did you ever experience any? So, was there ever any tension between like the white and the black families in the neighborhood?
Not in my neighborhood. I was just something that my older brother and I talked about years later. How when the females became of age, maybe 14 or 15, they sort of shied away from playing with the boys. Mm-hmm. We sort of realized what that was, you know. Mm-hmm. But there was no real tension, I don't think, in the neighborhood where I stayed.
Yeah.
Although my wife is from Walter Hill, and she talked about some tension that they had out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But we never did have any.
What did your parents, what were their occupations?
Okay. My father worked on the railroad. He would leave on Sunday evening, early Monday morning, and would come back Friday afternoon. So he was gone the majority of the week. My mother worked in over on Main Street for some people, and then she worked for some other people. She was, I guess, a domestic servant, mm-hmm. and she cared for the house and helped raise the kids that was there.
When you say work for the railroad, what did he do exactly?
Well, he made sure that the tracks were in line.
Uh-huh.
Be sure that, you know, if there's any repair that had to be done, and usually he was gone out of state, you know, maybe to Georgia, Alabama, wherever they needed it.
Did you ever get to travel with him or go with him to work?
No, I did not,
cool.
But I did experience a train ride. I had not been on a train before, but after I got out of high school, there was a recruiter from Morehouse College, and my intentions were to go to Morehouse College in Atlanta. So that summer, when I got out of high school, I went to Atlanta, and we boarded a train and went up to Simsbury, Connecticut, and I worked that summer.
Yeah, cool. What were your dreams for the future when you were, I guess, part of it, but yeah. When you were younger, what were your dreams? Like, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Okay, when I was in high school, my desire was to become a chemist. Mm-hmm. I love chemistry. And so when I went to college, I did good on chemistry, since that was something that I love. But I had a scholarship for that first year, and after that year, there was no money for me to continue college, so I started working, got me a job after that. But my desire was to become a chemist.
Hmm. And what about, what did your family, did they have, like, desires of what they wanted you to do with your life?
Well, I think that they wanted me to be whatever my desires were, and wanted, you know, me to pursue that. But in all reality, you know, to become a chemist, you need more than 1 year of education.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So
what was your childhood like versus in like teenage years? So like, I guess, like, what kind of what kind of games did you play when you were a child? Let's start with child. Yeah, okay. And like, who were your friends and
we used to jump rope, you know, that was, and we used to play Honey Honey Bebo. That's a hide and seek game. Some person would be it, and he would get a tree, and we would scatter and hide, and he would have to go find us, or she would have to find us, and that was the game that we would play. We used to shoot marbles, jump, play hopscotch, and throw on the, you know, concrete on the street. Did you play that? We also, the boys and girls would also, during the summertime, when I was teenager, and I remember this because we used to go play softball. We used to get every Sunday afternoon that during the summer, we would go play softball somewhere. And we would really go down on Loke Avenue. That area of the town was not built up at that time. There was nothing commercial there. They were just some homes. And we would play softball in front of these three people's home. Mm-hmm. The yard was big enough where we would play softball. And that's something that we did for two or three summers.
Nice. Who were your friends? Do you remember any of your friends from when you were either a child or a teenager?
Yeah. I had an older brother and older sister and a younger sister coming up. And one block from us, there was a similar family that was being raised by their aunt and uncle. And there was two girls and two boys. So we sort of were friends. My friend about my age was named Cornelius. And I had another friend that stayed right next to us on Academy Street. His name was Tommy. And he moved in there on the corner, and his grandfather had a horse and buggy.
Oh, cool.
So we would ride the horse and buggy across town to wherever he kept it, you know. And it was a good experience because he... Also, they came from the rural out by Barfield, which is not too far. Now, it seemed like a million miles away. But the bus used to come by and pick him up and sisters to go to church on Sunday school. So I started riding the bus to Sunday school, and that's where I joined church out there.
Okay.
Still go there, matter of fact.
What church is that?
Cherry Grove Missionary Baptist Church.
What about, but what kind of things would you and your friends talk about?
Oh, girls mostly. I guess it's been so long, such a long time ago. We talked about, you know, what was going on, you know, and,
Were you guys, like, good kids? Were you getting in trouble?
I guess we were. I always considered myself a good kid. I got one or two whoopings, but we were good. We were good. Mm-hmm. I think we all were good. We had some strong maternal people that were pushing us. I know the buddy on the corner... He was being raised by his mother and his grandmother. Mm-hmm. And my other friend up on the corner was being raised by an aunt and uncle. Mm-hmm. So there was strong maternal people that pushed us. And like I said, my father worked from Sunday to Friday, being away from home.
Yeah.
And my mother was strictly the disciplinarian.
Mm-hmm. So you said you went to Bradley for elementary school, or
mm-hmm,
primary school.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
That was a good experience because we lived on Academy Street, and we walked I guess, about a mile and a half to school every morning. And the kids from the neighborhood, we would walk together. Usually you did not walk to school alone. There was always one, two, three, maybe sometime eight or nine of us kids that would be coming to school. Sometime more than that. But we had a good time coming, walking to school. We didn't know, you know, during the time I was growing up, I didn't realize that, you know, there was another school four blocks from us. Mm. You know, I knew it was there, but I didn't have any intention.
Right.
Our thoughts were to come to Bradley.
Right.
And even so, in high school, when we went to high school, we passed by the high school there in on Main Street that was there, Central High. But, you know, we knew that we went to Holloway. So.
Right.
The problem.
Did you after integration, when it changed, did you when you later thought back on it, what was your thought?
It was a long time that I really gave thought to this, and this was when I was in service. I went in service in 1960, and I saw, and they talked about integration then, but it had not taken place. Matter of fact, in Virginia, my buddies and I went out to a bowling alley one night, and the proprietor wouldn't let us bowl together. It was me and another black fella, and the rest of them were white, but wouldn't let us bowl together, so we all left. I thought that was good. That showed a lot of camaraderie, you know.
Yeah.
But those kind of things that happened, and at that time, I felt that's the way it was, and, you know, it wasn't anything. But after, later on, you felt like that it should not have been that way. And I think I've gotten stronger and better about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that happened in the past, and so it was wrong. You know, a lot of people made mistakes about how their feelings were, but there were a lot of people that felt it was wrong then. So
And so you said you walked to school.
Yeah.
Was there, were there buses or were there not?
No, wasn't any buses. We all walked to school and even walked further to high school. But there was a young man that had a car. His father had a car. His father was a minister, so he sometimes got his father's car. And sometimes coming to school, the car would be loaded and people would be standing on the running board. You've seen a car with a running board on the
picture?
Almost
like a truck when you have to like step
and sometimes we would hang on the running board, you know, and ride to school. But it was a good thing, I guess, to walk to school. It made us healthy, you know.
Yeah.
I think, but no buses. Not in town, it wasn't any buses. When I went to high school, they bused the kids in from Woodbury and Eagleville and Rockville and every other place, but to come to Holloway. So, because of no integration then.
And so what was Bradley like? We can start there. So, yeah, describe it as a school.
Yeah, Bradley had five grades in it, and it had seven rooms for students. But I think some of the grades had two grades, like I think there was two classrooms of fourth grade students and one big fifth grade class, I remember that. And we had a lunch room there at Bradley, and just a big time. It, you know, kids today don't really enjoy what we did then. We had recess. Mm-hmm. We played outside. You know, we had some swings. We played softball. We played running. The boys, you know, run around the building and everything. And we all, it was a good time, I think. It was a good time. The teachers were teachers. They were also our mothers and fathers, you know. Even though all of my teachers, I don't think was, we had a male teacher at that time. All of them were females. And two of the teachers lived in Third Ward. So if anything went wrong at Bradley during the day, then we, my mother knew about it, you know, that evening. And they were really good people to know. You know, I think they look for you to do your very best. They encourage you to do that. They expected that you were to do your very best.
What were all the teachers, or what race were the teachers?
They were all black. We was, you know, not integrated.
Right.
They were all black teachers. All females.
What subjects did you learn, and did you have any favorites?
We did reading and writing, arithmetic. I guess my class that I enjoyed most was writing. Writing letters, writing, you know, just writing.
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily composing poems, but writing. I love to write.
Penmanship? Is that penmanship?
Yeah, penmanship. That's what I enjoyed. But I enjoyed the other classes. I'm just trying to think of mathematics. I love math too. I love math.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Chemistry, math. What about high school?
High school, I love science, and I guess that's why I decided I want to be a chemist. I love biology. I love to go in the lab and, you know, dissect frog and whatever. I love the high school atmosphere. I love sports. I was a basketball player, and I played in the band. So I loved going to football games. Mm-hmm. Band always, you know, go to play at the football games. I enjoyed that.
Would you play?
I played trombone.
Okay.
Yeah, played trombone. Can't blow it now, but I thought I did at that time.
Nice. What, so were there any rivalries between?
One big rivalry.
I don't know, but can you tell me about it?
The rivalry with Shelbyville, Bedford County Training School was their name of the school there. In Shelbyville, every Thanksgiving we played a football game in the Cedar Bucket Classic. And whoever won the football game got the bucket. Got the, sort of like a water bucket, but made out of cedar. And Shelbyville had a good football team. They had for years. I think they went undefeated for about 10 years in a row.
Oh, wow.
They had a real good football team. But we finally beat them, I think, after I got out of high school. I don't never remember us beating them while we were in high school. But even after I had got out of high school and went to work, that the game was still being played on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, back 60, well, whenever Holloway closed, 68, I think, was the last graduating year. So 67 was probably the last football game. But it was played, the Cedar Bucket Class, on Thanksgiving Day.
Hmm.
Every Thanksgiving.
What about, did you do any other kind of, like, clubs at school, or? what were your friends like in high school? What kind of clique were you in?
I was not involved in much besides band because I had a little job that I went to after school. I worked at the job. I was classified as a custodian at the WMTS radio station. I went and cleaned up.
Ah.
So for an hour each day I would go down and clean up, be sure all the trash was taken out and the floor was clean, dusted around. So I didn't have, the only thing I did was play basketball and played in the band. That was big things to do, you know, because I thought we had a good band. We had a good band. And the football team did very well, too.
Yeah. You said the radio station? Is that where you said?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a different experience. You know, you have to be quiet when they announce and doing. You have to open the door and, you know, be very quiet when they're on there. Standing on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what about, what kind of methods of discipline did your teachers use in elementary school and then in high school?
I remember one teacher having a ruler, little tap you on your hands when you were needed that type of discipline. But like I said, I've thought I was a good kid, so I did get one spanking, I think. One of the teacher's son was sort of in upper grade, and I remember this, and he did something for me. I don't know what it was, but I picked up a stick and threw it at him and hit him in the nose, and nose got to bleeding. So I got disciplined for that. I got a little spanking. But it wasn't, I think most of the kids were good kids. I don't see any, you know, nobody being punished, you know, that much. You know, but kids were kids back then. They got in things, but I can't remember anybody being set in the corner and made to stay for a long period of time every day and nothing like that. So it was a, kids was pretty good back then. At least they were. At least I thought they were.
What about your family? How did they, did they use corporal punishment at home?
Yeah, well, you know, I said my mother was there and she was a disciplinarian.
Uh-huh.
If we got out of line and needed discipline, she would tell us to go get a switch. Go outside and bring back something like that. No, we would have to go back and, you know, and we would get our tail with the switch. Sometime if I got disciplined by my daddy, he would put off his belt, give me one or two licks. So, but you know, if I got a whooping, I needed it because I had done something that wasn't supposed to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were your favorite songs or musical acts as a kid, as a teenager?
I can't remember anything as a kid, but as a teenager, when I was in high school, I worked at the radio station, and I heard all of these good songs that would come out. I remember the Drifters, the Platters, Jackie Wilson, and I didn't sing in the glee club, but I brought some music for the music teacher, one of the Drifters, one of the Platters song that she played in the choir, sung it, the glee club, they called it, not the choir at that time, glee club, but it was all good music, and like I said, I remember the Platters, the Drifters. B.B. King was really popular back when I was in high school. He just, I believe, just had gotten started, just beginning to, you know, put out records. And we had the little 45s, little 78s before the 45s. And that's something that my sister and I, we really did. We would buy a record just about every week. Mm-hmm. The songs would come out. Moth and the Vandellas. But it was a good time. Music was a big part of our socialization. Mm-hmm. We used to have what we call Kool-Aid parties.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me. You probably know what they are.
Well, I do. But, yeah. But tell me, please.
And instead of us having the real stuff, we would have Kool-Aid to drink. And we would dance, you know, and just have a good time. Kool-Aid parties, that's what we call them. Go meet at people's houses and have Kool-Aid parties. Dance to the latest records. It was good times.
Did you go to prom and stuff?
Did go to the prom. I was a little bit shy, believe it or not, in high school. But I did attend the prom, and my neighborhood friend that I was telling you about earlier, that was four of us, the older girl taught me how to dance. So I went up to her house, and she taught me how to dance. I was a little backward. I didn't know anything about dancing. But my first prom, I think I went maybe at my junior year. I don't know. I can't remember going to sophomore year. First one of sophomore year, but I went my junior-senior prom, so I went my junior year.
Did you have, like, a high school sweetheart?
I had one high school sweetheart that won, that I really thought that I was going to marry.
Oh, yeah.
And even though I liked a couple other girls during that time, I only had one that I thought that I was going to marry. And after I got out of high school, I still thought that I was going to marry her. She was still in high school. So I went off. I dated her for a long time.
What's her name? That was a
That's a secret.
Okay.
That's a secret because I don't...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not a secret... But I really thought that I would marry her, but I did not. I went off. She went off after I got out of. Went to the army. She went to college, and she was a couple of years behind me. She went off to college, and matter of fact, she got married too. So. Went to work after she got out of college, so that ended that.
Aww.
But she was my real first sweetheart. See, think about it, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got 47 years.
Yeah.
Well, oh, young
yeah. Love. Have to give that up now.
Yeah.
What could have been did not happen, so we move on.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
Yeah.
What about TV? Did you watch TV or have, I guess, when did that?
It was later on, and I can't remember when we did get our first TV, but I remember watching TV, before we got TV, I remember as a kid we went to the movies every Saturday.
Okay.
They had Cowboy Western movies. We had every Saturday we would have somehow rake up enough money to go to the Princess Theater. And during that time of segregation, we would have to go in the side door and go upstairs. You know, which, like I said, at that time, it was I didn't think anything, you know, until later on how they put us in the side door.
Right.
But I think the Princess Theater was integrated long before Murfreesboro itself became integrated. Because I remember before when, after I got out of high school, that we did go, you know, in the front door. We did that. So things start to change. A lot of things were slow about changing.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember back in 1954, one of the black students graduated from Holloway, applied for MTSU, and was turned down. That was way before, you know, integration became a fact. So it was on the horizon.
Was it, so, like, was it sort of like businesses could integrate, like, so you said that the Princess Theater did it early. Was it just sort of like if they wanted to, they could?
I think if they wanted, you mean if the black people, students or whatever, could wanted to, they could go in the front door?
No. I mean, like, if businesses wanted to integrate.
I think that they could. But I think what it was, they would feel a lot of animosity from the whites.
From the whites?
Hey.
Huh.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, I thought I heard, like, that Tennessee was sort of slow to integrate in general compared to other states.
I think they were. I think we were. They were. I mean, because we were ready for it. But they were.
I guess I don't know. So what about, did you like to read as a child or teenager? And if so, what?
I only love to read comic books.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, like what?
I wasn't a big, even though when we were in at Bradley, we had to read. That was one of our things. We'd have to read a book, you know, we would have, but I wasn't a big reader. We had comic books that we read, and, you know, you get a stack, and friends would have a different topic, you know, and we'll read these and swap them about. But it wasn't like we would be able to go to the library and get a book to read.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't possible. Unless you come to high school, and then, you know, we read books from the library there.
There weren't public libraries?
I think it was, but I can't remember myself ever going to the library. Not when I was in school. It may have been after I got out of high school and whatever, but I can't remember. But it was a public library. I can't remember where it was.
What about, did you have favorite foods as a kid?
My favorite food, and still is, chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I was just telling somebody the other day that my mother was a good cook. My wife is a good cook. And on Sunday morning, sometime we would be treated Sunday morning for fried chicken and homemade biscuits with gravy. Oh, goodness. You know, that was something else to have fried chicken and gravy and homemade biscuits for breakfast on Sunday morning. I remember that. And I love chicken now. I don't eat any fried chicken due to my health, but I do eat baked chicken, raw chicken, stewed chicken, oven baked. And, you know, I just love chicken.
What was your largest meal of the day, like, when you were growing up? And what kind of stuff would you have? Would your parents cook?
I told one of my buddies in service, he was complaining because they had pinto beans on the menu. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, I said, you don't know what you're missing. I said, I was raised up on pinto beans. Pinto beans and mashed potatoes, white beans, you know, green beans, turnip green. Every once in a while we get to have some pork chops or some chicken, you know. But we would always have something good to eat. And my mother used to make puddings. It would be a cake, batter like mm-hmm, a cake, mm-hmm. but she wouldn't put any icing on it. You know, run it in the stove and yeah. then bake it and come up. And we would have pudding. That's what we call pudding. Mm. And sometimes she would make a sauce to go with, put some vanilla flavoring, sugar, or whatever it was. And we would cut a piece and put the sauce over it. Mm. That was our desserts. That was good. That was good. Didn't have to have a, you know, big old cake. In time, she did do cakes, but we would have a pudding. A lot of times on Sunday, we would have pudding for our dinner.
Okay, what about traveling? Did you travel when you were a kid or a teen?
I did not. we did not have a car. And I think my first car in the household was when my sister got married. And she had a car. When I got out of service, I bought me a car. But we didn't have a car, so if we got in a place, we walked. Mm-hmm. Walked to town, walked to school, you know, mm-hmm. walked up the road. We didn't have a car to go in place.
Yeah. Okay, so I know you went to college and then for your master's, so tell me about, I guess, first, the initial year of college. What was that like?
Okay.
Where'd you go?
First year, I went to A&I.
Okay.
That was A&I then instead of Tennessee State.
Yeah.
When I got out of high school, like I said, I had went to Simsbury, Connecticut mm-hmm. to work on a tobacco farm to earn some money to go to school. So I did. But when I got up there, all these fellows was from Birmingham, from Atlanta, mm-hmm. and they had this rivalry about who was the meanest, the people from Birmingham, the people from Atlanta. So I thought, man, I don't want to be around this group of boys. I'm going to put in my application for Tennessee State. I'm going to be a Tennessee boy. So I did, and I was accepted. Matter of fact, I had already been accepted at Morehouse, but I decided to come to A&I,
okay.
and which was a good thing. It allowed me to come home. I could catch a bus for, I guess, 55 cents, 75 cents mm-hmm. at that time to come back to Murfreesboro. And there was a lot of people that graduated that was going to school there, and they had a car. So I could, you know, bum a ride with them if I couldn't catch a bus. But it was a good experience my first year at A&I. I tried out for the band, didn't make the band. So I became involved in playing basketball for the intramural team. And A&I at that time had a good football team and a good basketball team. Mm-hmm. So we enjoyed that during the fall and spring. But after that year, I found a job back in Murfreesboro and went to work. Mm-hmm. And until I went to NAM in 1960. And was there till 63. Did my basic training at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Did my advanced training there. Took up basic, well, what they call it. Anyway, I was a clerk typist.
Okay.
And that got me a job, got me stationed at Fort Myer in Arlington, Virginia.
Okay.
And my duty station was the Pentagon.
Okay.
So we walked on the tunnel to the Pentagon right across. The Fort Myer is divided into three areas, North Post, South Post, and the Arlington Cemetery right there in the middle.
Uh-huh.
So it was, they said, the best duty station in the world because you're there in Washington, D.C. You have all these places to go to, you know, and there's the cemetery, which is Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. The North Post, all the soldiers up here took care of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Uh-huh.
They protected, you know, how they march. Big gallery up here of soldiers. In the South Post were the enlisted men and sergeant majors or whatever thing worked in the Pentagon.
Uh-huh.
So it was good duty, I think. Yeah.
So did you enlist in the Army?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
And my reason for enlisting was I had put in for a job at the VA hospital,
mm-hmm.
and they told me, they said, well, we are only taking veterans at this time, hiring veterans. So I said, boy, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
So here I do. I go and enlist in the Army. My sister writes and tells me, I talked to her about 4 months later, said, you got this letter from the VA? I said, open up. Mm-hmm. They wanted me to come out and apply again.
Mm-hmm.
Too late.
Yeah,
I was in South Carolina.
So, what was... Well, I have multiple questions, but okay, so what was training like? Was it like really like...
It's really like they say it is.
Like
it was,
like,
yeah,
up,
it
like,
was.
Climb up hills
it, yeah.
And they it, yell at you and stuff.
Yes, it was. It was something that was different, you know, but I think it made you think that if you are going to be a soldier, you need to have that type of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody couldn't take it. You know, we had some fellas that they had to ship back home, but most of us live to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then, okay, so then you said you did your advanced training because they, okay, so then, and then that's when you, so did you go to Vietnam?
No, I did not.
So you served the entire time in the Pentagon area. Okay.
Yes,
that's
yes.
Pretty lucky.
Well, I said probably the best duty station in the world, yeah. During that time, Vietnam, they had what they call military attachés there. They were not actually fighting, but they were, you know, they had troops over there. I knew that from being working in the Pentagon, but the American people thought that we were military attachés advising
mm-hmm.
the other people, but that was troops over there that was being shot at, and they were shooting back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't send a 200 men over there to just advise those, but that was actually what was happening. And like I said, when I was up there, I went up there in 1960. So from I was there 32 months and up there, and things changed. The military attachés began to increase, so they have a battalion of troops and everything. Before you know it. The wall was, the soldiers were committed.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, what was your view on the war, I guess? Like, is it?
I thought at that time, and I still do, that we were fighting too far from home. I could not see how we could fight that far away from home and everything else was happening. You know, during that time, there was a lot of bombing, dogs, fire hoses that was happening here in the South. And, I you know, we had all those people over there, all that money being spent that far away from home and looked like something could have been done here. I developed those feelings after I got out of service, you know. But at that time, you know, you think that you were doing the right thing.
This is sort of like what you would have to do to, it's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You can't be doing it.
Yeah.
So after 3 years, how did you get out?
I was going to reenlist. Mm-hmm. The recruitment sergeant there that I went down and talked to him, he come down in the office and I told him, I said, I'll reenlist if you promote me, get me. Oh, I don't have another, you know. I was, I had made E5, and I said, I need to get promoted, be an E6, which mean, you know, money and, you know, and everything else. That's what mostly meant. Said it didn't have any allocation, so I decided to, you know, another 3 years. It wasn't worth it to be an E5, so I decided to come back to Murfreesboro.
What did you do?
Got me a job working out at Rutherford Hospital. Got a job working at my brother-in-law was working at Sunbeam Bakery in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Worked there for a while. Got a job working in a plant, Chromalox. Got another job. Where did I last work for? I went to the got a job working at the grocery store as a carryout. Groceries, mm-hmm, at that time, that was big, carrying out. And when, you know, people come in, buy groceries, you take them out to the car. Mm-hmm. Worked several jobs, a little bit of small jobs, until I finally did get on to the VA,
okay,
which was 64, because I got married in 65, and I had been working there for, but I had several, you know, little bit of jobs.
And what did you do at the VA? So that's when you got, you working at the hospital? Or explain that to me.
I worked in the hospital, the VA Medical Center.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I started out as a nursing assistant.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I decided, well, I need to do a little better, so I decided I was going to go back to school, and I did. Went back to school and worked evenings, went back to school, and for 2 years, well, actually for three, because I worked, took some courses where I could just go part-time. Mm-hmm. So when I got admitted to the nursing program, and I only took the required nursing courses during the past 2 years. Then I already had my English out of the way. I already had my physical education and I think biology or something. I had to take anatomy and physiology, though. But I went and graduated in 1970, passed state boards,
mm-hmm,
and got hired on as an RN at the VA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I stayed. Worked the wards, admission wards, the continued treatment wards, the 9AC, which was called the intensive care ward, sort of like people that were really in bad shape that needed to be locked up physically.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I worked that ward for a while, and then 1986, I put in an application for outpatient clinic, psychiatric outpatient clinic, and I worked there my last 10 years, like dying, going to heaven.
How so?
No more evening shifts, no more night shift work, no more Saturdays and Sundays. It was Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30.
Yeah.
Just like dying, going to heaven.
What kind of work is that?
The patients that would be in the hospital, be discharged. 1 month later, they would come back to see the doctor, see how they're doing. Mm-hmm. If they needed medication, he would renew that. And whatever. Some patients were on IM injections, and they would come in every 2 weeks, every month to get the shot to keep them stabilized without being on oral medication.
What is IM?
Intramuscular.
What's that for?
It's supposing you were on let's see. If you've taken a medicine every day to keep you stabilized, this medication is supposed to last the whole month.
Oh, instead of having to take it every day?
Instead of having to take it every day. So they would come in, we would give an IM.
Oh,
and,
weird. Like a giant dose.
Pardon?
So it's like a giant dose of
Yes. Enough, it peaks and then it's supposed to do that.
Wow.
And some we gave shots every 2 weeks and some every three. Hmm. Most of them was every month, though.
And did you like that kind of, as a career, was that?
I really enjoyed. I liked the thought that what I was doing helped the people become, not when I was on the ward, become stabilized. Go out, go to the outpatient clinic, and you can see them a year later, still out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. That was rewarding to me.
Did you know, was anyone else in your family in the military or in the service?
I had two brothers that were. Three of my older brothers. I come from a two-family situation. My mother, the first family, had older kids, and then there were my sister and my two sisters and a younger brother. That was, so it was four, and then the other six. And my older brothers here, it was two of them that was in, three of them and my younger brother. So there was really five of us boys that was in service.
And did they go active,
One of my brothers went to Korea. One that's next to me went to Alaska. It wasn't in the war there, but he went to Alaska.
I don't remember there being a war.
No. But my younger brother, he went to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. He did. And he doesn't talk about it. It's just the thoughts of having to relate, everything. But
yeah,
I don't think war is a pleasant thing.
No, I don't think so either. I can't imagine it.
Yeah.
How do you think your experiences growing up compare to those of other folks of your same age and race, but who grew up in another part of the United States?
Well, I think Murfreesboro at the time that I grew up was a small town. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, probably in other small towns with the black community, it probably was the same. Mm-hmm. And then I had an opportunity, I think it was in the 80s or somewhere, when we went on a bowling trip. We went down through the Delta, mm-hmm. and I could see the 50s in that situation. Some of the homes and everything looked like the homes that we lived in the 50s.
Like still,
yeah.
Even though it was the 80s.
Yeah, huh. And it was the 80s. So I can't imagine how they were, or I can't imagine how they were during the 50s. They was probably, a little worse than we were. And we thought we had it good, you know. Yeah, kids, when we came up, we didn't worry about anything.
Yeah.
You know, it was, and it's, I think the small town and the city life is a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
From even Nashville. I had a cousin. We went down to visit him, and it's just different. Everything's just a little faster. And he would come up here, and he would talk about us country folks, you know. We didn't live in country. We lived in town. We thought, you know, we were here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's different from what he was living.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's really interesting about the... let's talk about your family. So, tell me about your parents. Where are your parents from?
Well, my parents, my mother is from, Blackman, the community, they call it Little Hope. They haven't changed the name, but she's raised up in Little Hope. And my dad is from Murfreesboro.
Okay. And what? I guess like what were they like? What were their personalities like?
My mother was a easygoing woman. Uh-huh. You know, like she was a disciplinarian. Around the home, my father worked and was away, and you know,
uh-huh.
So I didn't really get to know him growing up as a child. But I knew him, but I really didn't know him. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't sit down and have father and son talk until I guess late on in life when I was doing something. And he told me not to do it.
Yeah,
you know, he told me.
What was their highest level of formal education?
I think my father probably went to the 5th or 6th grade. My mother did not. She probably went to grammar school too.
Mm-hmm. What was the most important lesson that they taught you?
I remember this. This is just an example of how my mother was. She said, be sure you shine your shoes. And she said, shine the back as well as the front. That I remember her telling me, just don't put it out where somebody can see the front of your shoes.
Yeah.
That's an example.
What about your grandparents? Where are they from?
They were from Rutherford County here. Mm-hmm. I didn't know my granddad, but I knew my grandmother. My granddaddy died in Nashville in 1936. But I knew my grandmother. She lived about 4 or 5 blocks from us. We used to go to visit. She had a stroke, so she came to live with us before she died. I remember she lived with us before she died.
How was that?
She was unable to take care of herself. She almost was paralyzed in the bed, and she came to live with us.
Were you close with her before then?
Yes, I guess, you know, I was relating how she we would go to the cotton patch. She would take me, my brother, and sister to the cotton patch during the fall mm-hmm. when, you know, pick cotton. Mm-hmm. And she would take us, and we would put all our cotton together to make 100. We never did, three of us. But we did get a little money. You know, back during that time, if you had 50 cents in your pocket, you had $10 or $15.
That's crazy. Yeah.
You know, you could go to the movie for a dime, buy a Coca-Cola for a nickel, you know, and so we did get a little money out of that. But she would take us on Saturdays to the cotton patch, and we would probably pick 2 or 3 hours and then wait till lunchtime come. We would have our, you know, little sack. We would open our can of pork and beans or vine or sausage, you know, and mm-hmm. crackers. And after that, we wasn't any more good. We done hate lunch, so we go pick cotton.
Tired,
but
yeah.
But
that's funny. What did she do? What was her profession in her?
I don't think she had a profession. I never did know she was. I think she took in ironing mm-hmm. for a living.
And did did she ever have a lesson that she taught you? Or a saying that she used to have?
When we would go to cotton patch, we would say, "Oh, our back is hurt. We can't pick anymore." She said, "You don't have a back. Stand up straight. You just got a gristle." So she, that I remember of her.
Did your family own property?
No, we rented, and the last house that we lived in on Jackson Street before I got married, my mother had bought that house, mm-hmm. so that was the last house.
I guess no one in your family sharecropped?
No.
You didn't mention that. Okay. Were there other elders in your community who were important in your life?
My friends, aunt and uncle, you sort of look up to grown folks sometimes, and I thought they were important. They were raising those four kids.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, back during that time, I thought that was something, you know. we lived in with my mom and dad, and they were living with their uncle. Mm-hmm. Thought that was very, very important, and they were really good folks. They were really good folks. I just love to go up to their house because they would tell you this and tell you that, you know, not to do this, not to do that. But they were good folks. I really enjoyed them.
While you were growing up, what were you told about slavery? Were you told anything specific or?
No more than what I learned in school. I'm trying to think what year it was. Seventh, eighth grade. We had a play depicting slavery, how masters talk to the, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was. From what we learned, what I learned later from movies and everything, you know. But
within your family, it was never.
No.
So I know you're married. How did you and your wife meet?
My sister introduced her to me. My wife said. Lilybell said, "I want you to meet my brother." So we did meet.
Mm-hmm.
And this was right after I had gotten out of service. So we dated for a while. 6 months, I guess, or longer, maybe a little longer. And for Christmas, I gave her a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Then 4 or 5 months later, May, we married.
What's her name?
Alma. Alma Earlene Casey.
And so your parents and family, were they, was there any opposition to the marriage? Were they all for it?
No, I think they were. I think they were ready for me to get out of the house.
And what was her profession?
She did day work. That's what she called it. Mm-hmm. When we were married, but after when we got married, she had a 3-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. So the next year, when our youngest one was born, she decided that she needed to go out and get her regular job. So she did. She worked at Samsonite Luggage Company. It wasn't luggage. They made tables and chairs there, but it was later become Samsonite Luggage. She worked there for 31 years. So she retired.
What'd she do for them?
She made the chairs, not the tables. Mm-hmm. Samsonite used to have a good quality chair, folding chair, mm-hmm. and she made those.
It's funny, I've only ever thought of them as luggage. I mean, in my mind, Samsonite.
Yeah. Now they made tables and chairs. They made one of the best folding chairs you could have. They made some chairs like this, but we didn't like those. The folding chairs were better because they had cushions in them like this.
Oh, yeah.
And they could fold up. They were really good chairs. Matter of fact, we still got some.
Like the kind you see at weddings.
Yeah.
Those kind?
Yeah.
So tell me about, so you had at least, how many kids?
Two. I have two girls.
Two girls?
Uh-huh.
What are their names?
My oldest girl is named Regina. She's married, mm-hmm. and she's living in Brentwood with her husband, who is a minister, and she is a minister.
Oh, cool.
And they have a small church there and a small congregation because they are meeting in another church building itself, but they have a small congregation there. And my youngest one is named Robin. She was here last week.
Okay. I don't know if I met her.
I don't know if you did or not. She came first, and then my wife came. And she is instructed at MTSU.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What'd you teach?
Information systems, computers.
Uh-huh.
She's in the College of Education, and she does a lot of online teaching.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have any grandkids?
No. And my oldest one will be 50 come September.
Okay,
so
I guess you're not about to get one there, but
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Let's see. So what was the relationship? Okay. What do you recall about going to church in your youth? So you said you would go to Cherry Grove and you took the bus. I remember that.
Yeah. I took the bus to Sunday school and went to church and had revival 1 year. So that year I joined the church when I was 13.
You said they had a revival?
Yeah. And they still do, fall revival. Uh-huh.
What's that like?
They would have a minister to come in, and usually the revival lasts all week long. But it doesn't now. But we still have the revival every fall. And a preacher would preach and ask for souls to be saved. Mm-hmm. So I think Friday night I walked up and decided that I wanted to my soul to be saved and join the church. 13 years old.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What was it like?
Very emotional. My aunt was there, and I can't remember if my mother was there or not, but my aunt and uncle was there, and they were supportive, very mm-hmm. supportive of me. But it was a good, it was probably the best thing I've done, probably kept me out of a lot of situations that I probably would have gotten in if I hadn't did that.
Yeah. And did you, so had you not gone to church before then, really?
Oh, yes, I did. I went to church with my mother, went to church with my sister, went to church with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. But this was, I guess, an opportunity to ride the bus. You know, like I said, that's no, been walking, before, so
yeah.
Opportunity to ride the bus. So every Sunday morning, come by and take us to Sunday school and church. We had church at that time the first and third Sundays of the month.
Yeah.
Wasn't every Sunday thing.
What about nowadays, or like with your children and your? Did you continue?
I did. I continued. My wife belongs to church at Walter Hill,
mm-hmm.
and I belong to church at Cherry Grove. And when we first got married, I guess I was stubborn and decided that I would. Stay at my church. And when I was working, like I said, I had just started working at the VA. I worked a lot of Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean a lot of Sundays. If I got off two Sundays every 6 months, that was good. So I didn't want to get her to, I didn't argue to the point of, you need to be where I am, and I wasn't going to church.
Mm-hmm.
So, me working Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays for my first 20 years, you never could say when you're going to be off on Sunday. So we have kept our same church. She belongs to Bethel at Walter Hill, and I belong to Cherry Grove at Barfield. And if something special comes up, we will go with each other. Mother's Day, I go with her. A lot of times, Father's Day with me. And we have our church's fellowship together. They come to us one Sunday a year, and we go to them one Sunday a year. So
it's nice.
I go to her church, and she goes to mine. So
partnerships.
Yeah.
And
one other thing. By me not being able to attend church every Sunday like she did, she took care of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
She took the kids to church. So
yeah.
They went to Walter Hill.
Yes, she stole them.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I really admire her for doing that too. I didn't have any problem with that.
Yeah. What do you remember about shopping or going to stores when you were younger?
Not much money. When I was a teenager, like I said, we didn't have that much money to go shopping. But I remember the black and white water fountains that was in McClellan's and F.W. Woodworks, two department stores, We always went in and looked. Got a drink of water, there was two water fountains. So you just drink out of which one you wanted to, which we did,
Would you use the?
Yeah, we took a look around. Wasn't nobody looking. We drank out, and the water tastes the same.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like the flavored water coming out of the white one.
No.
It's like Evian.
Yeah. And I do remember we had, we would come to town on Saturday. That was a treat.
Mm-hmm.
We would make the movies and then go down on the Mink Slide. The Mink Slide was that part of town where there was a black cafe, a pool room, and a barbershop. in another barbershop. Barbershop upstairs over the pool room, mm-hmm. and on the corner was another cafe. And that was the area down off of Maple Street they call a mink slide. And back, I guess, years ago, they used to sell minks somewhere down there. That's so the history of the mink slide was. So that's where the black folks would come after.
Can you take it?
No, it was just a reminder. That was where the black folks would come to town. And, you know, up on the other part of town, there was a drugstore where they sold ice cream. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we would, you know, go up and get some ice cream. And we couldn't sit down in that drugstore, though, not sit down and eat ice cream. Got a cone of cream and took it out and walked on down.
What do you think the role of black-owned businesses in the community was? Or, like, what was the role of black-owned businesses in the community?
Well, when I look back now, they were probably very encouraging to the young folks to think that they could be able to do this, because there was a like I said, uptown, there was a pool room, there was two barbershops, and there were a restaurant that was uptown. And over in this part of town, that was similar. Mm-hmm. And I think it gave people ideas that, you know, they could own business themselves. There were 1, 2, 3 funeral homes here in Murfreesboro. And dry cleaners, I remember that. So, that was encouraging. And doctors, there was a doctor. Dr. Patterson was a dentist, who's the Patterson mm-hmm. Community Center name.
Oh.
His office was right there on the corner, on mm-hmm. the corner of one of those streets.
Yeah.
So, and the entrance to the center that used to be a little store, where they sold ice cream, candy, and mm-hmm. things that was, you know, right down on the corner where Jeff's is, there was Simon Glennon grocery mm-hmm. store. So it was a lot of businesses, black businesses over here in the neighborhood. Now, in my neighborhood where I live, there were really not any black businesses. There was neighborhood food stores, but no black business that I know of.
Did you have any? So I guess we'd sort of talked about, like, the relationship between blacks and whites. Did you have any direct experience with racism? I mean, personally. I mean, we've also talked about, like, the, I mean, obviously, like, your experience with segregation. But did you have any experience with racism? Or like, how do you feel, like, segregation had affected you, like, as you, like, sort of realized it later? Like, those sort of things.
Well, I think it made me a better person. It sounds odd, but I think it made me a better person to know that I was able to survive during segregation. When I went in service, like I said, there was still segregation going on. But one of my best friends was my roommate, was a fellow from Carbondale, Pennsylvania. Him and I still communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, he came down to visit me about 3 or 4 years ago, and we have intentions of going up next month to see him and his wife. But those kind of segregation back during the day, we, at least I survived because I thought it was the way of life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really, you know, feel unempowered by it. You know, I didn't feel held down. Only late on in life did I realize, you know, that I could have went to Central High School, I could have went to MTSU, you know, mm-hmm. at that time, back during the 50s. You know. So, I don't, you know, can't hold a grudge against that.
Yeah.
You know, just move on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was there, did you see, I guess at the time, did you see people, anyone who saw it differently, or was it sort of, like, do you remember, I mean, do you have any memories of people who were, like, I mean.
There was ill and mad about not being able to do certain things.
Or people who were just, like. Or, I mean, or, like, I guess, like, whites who were, like, outright racist. I mean, people who just, like, were, like, outright not intolerant. I mean, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Only if it comes to, I mean, like.
I'm quite sure there were some, and I'm quite sure that, but I can't remember any specific mm-hmm. instance.
I mean, so.
Yeah.
What have been your greatest joys in life?
Joining the church, working in the church, being able to visit other cities, and I say that because when I was working, I was active in the nursing association, the ANA and the TNA, mm-hmm. and I got to go to different towns for conventions, and also my bowling trips.
Oh.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
We used to go on a bowling trip just about every year. We would go somewhere. We've been to St. Louis, we've been to Cincinnati, been to Dayton, Ohio, been to Panama Beach, Florida, we've been to Tampa, we've been to Texas, we've been to Las Vegas, been to Reno, Dallas, Texas, Plano, Texas, and it's been sort of like a vacation to go on a bowling trip. That's what my wife used to say. Well, this is my vacation, too. But she didn't become a bowler until she retired about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I've enjoyed bowling. Mm-hmm. Been bowling regular, I guess, past 40 years.
Wow. Must be pretty good.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
What about challenges? Biggest challenges in life?
I think my biggest challenge, I guess, was when I went to graduate school. It was so different from college. Mm-hmm. I was in a class, I think we had about 12, 14 of us in that program. And it was a challenge, I think, it was to get through. I had been, you know, working for years, and I thought that I knew what I was doing, mm-hmm. but I really didn't. Mm-hmm. I was just going through the mechanics, but I learned a lot. I think I learned during that year, I probably learned more than I really did in my other years, my other 40 years. Mm-hmm. It was so compact, but it was good.
Yeah,
the experience, I thought, was good.
What's helped you cope with challenges, like, throughout the years when you've had them?
I think my religious conviction that things are not always as bad as they seem, and I try to keep a positive attitude about things. Even when things are negative, I try to make a positive out of them. Mm-hmm. So that's probably kept me going.
How do you think black is defined now, and how does it compare to how it was defined when you were growing up?
By whom? By?
I guess like by society.
Okay. I think society still looks as black as being different. And I'm not saying that the majority does, but I think there's a certain group that still looks that way. And I guess it's in the next 50 years, maybe that idea will evaporate. Sometimes you can sense that it's still going on. At least I do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I get by that by thinking that that's the way they feel, and, you know, nothing that I can do to change them. I'm just going to have to be Ed Blackman.
Mm-hmm. Are you involved? Very different question. Are you involved with any church community groups or organizations?
Well, yeah. I'm church-wise, I sang in the men's chorus. Mm. And at one time, I was financial secretary of the church. I gave that up after, I guess, about 15 years of doing that. I've had health problems. Mm. I've had two open heart surgeries.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm glad you're here, hey.
And I just thought some of that was stressful, you yeah. know. And 1996, I was in the hospital for 5 different times. So I just thank the Lord for watching over me and letting me see another day.
Yeah. You look really
well.
Spry.
I tell people this. I said, you didn't know me when I weighed 235 pounds.
No way. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But you're so slim.
I know.
You look like someone who was always slim, though.
No.
Maybe it's that you're wearing the Olympics shirt there, but I just assumed, and like when you were like, I play basketball.
I weighed 235 pounds when I went to graduate school. Weighed a waist of 38.
Damn. So. I mean, well, you look like you've always been skinny to me. Hey. All right, well, I guess I have one final question. What specific message do you want to communicate to the younger people of the community? Yeah, like if you could, younger generations to come.
To have a positive outlook on life. They are going to meet some obstacles. There are going to be a lot of bumps in the road, but keep the eye straight ahead. Don't get discouraged if there's a setback. Just keep looking to what their goal is. And I think they need a goal. They need to have something to look forward to. Where am I going? How will I get there? Work on that plan. I think they'll be all right.
So is there any other information you want to include that we haven't touched upon?
No, I think I've given my whole life history.
I feel like we could go like another few hours. But.
Oh, I don't think it's, let's see, I don't think it's anything else that I left out that was talked about my childhood, or talked about my college life, my work life, my army life, and family life. So I'm just enjoying retirement now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good. What do you do, any arts and crafts projects?
besides bowling?
Yeah.
We have a little garden that we have at home, my wife and I. She's loved to put out flowers in the springtime, and so I'm going to help her with the flowers this year. We've been having to water them already in a little small garden that we got. Got three tomato plants that I set out on March the 13th. I've already gotten one tomato off of it.
Oh, nice.
And I got some tomatoes that's that big. Within the next couple of weeks, I'll have having first tomatoes. That's what I'm proud of. And I used to take care of my garden, but about 3 years ago, my daughter and wife convinced me to turn it over to someone else.
Wait, do you take care of your what?
My yard. I
said, oh, your
my
yard.
My yard, yeah. I used to have a riding lawnmower, and it got to the point where I couldn't get it all done in one day.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to mow one day and trim up the next day and do everything else. So we turned it over to Martin's Landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. I mean, my dad's always trying to get, I mean, like, whenever I come home, I used to have to, like, pick up sticks and stuff. Yeah. It's, like, my least favorite thing.
when the kids were coming up, we used to have police call. We would go around the house and, you know, my oldest one really didn't like that, but she reminds me now, Daddy, you remember when we used to have police call? Yeah, I said, yeah, I do. But we, you know, well, I've always taken pride in having a good, clean yard, you know.
Yeah.
The Army taught me that. That's one thing I learned from the Army. Police call. Pick up everything that's not moving. And if it moves, pick it up. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you again for participating. And please feel free to contact us if you have any questions or wish to add your contribution. And
okay.
Is there anything else?
No, I think it's
sure.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, thank you so much.